Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still loving you. I'm walking down
to What the Flock. I am your host, Pretty Bird, and that was The Words You Cannot Say by our very own Jay Hatter with the musical stylings of Shouty and Shy. And we are a team of voices here on Blog Talk Radio. We are a group of wonderfully talented, kind people that can be found on allpoetry.com. Allpoetry.com is the world's largest online poetry site, and it is free to join. So if you shoot on by, check it out. Feel free to look us up. We are a team of voices, and we have a variety of shows throughout the week to tickle your fancy. So all kinds of shows, so feel free to check us out here on Blog Talk or on A Team of Voices. So we have lots of stuff to talk about today, and it's funny because I could not find a song, because we have the opportunity to play whatever song fits our theme or our mood or whatever the heck, and I could not pick a song out of the millions upon millions of songs out there, the soundtrack of my life. They either all were on this side and none quite pinpointed what I had to say. Funny enough, I'm going to go over some of the lyrics of the song you just heard because it kind of suits the theme with it in a wonderful, happy accident. So tonight It is Forget You, but not Forget You like the clean version of CeeLo Green's song. It is forgiveness, really, because it's easy enough to forgive. But for me, I can't forget. I can't forget the joy, the pain. I mean, how do you move on and heal from the damage of broken trust or broken love? Is it easier for you to forget the pain or forget the person? And is it really forgiveness if it still hurts, if you cannot forget? Because, you know, it's all about forgive and forget and forgive and forget and forgive and forget. But every time something happens, if it's still popping up in your memory, yeah, well, maybe you didn't really forgive. Maybe there's still a bit of pain because the pain doesn't just disappear. So with us tonight, so far, we have Mr. Rack and Tor. Say hello.
Hello.
So I actually just closed the lyrics to Hatter's song because apparently it could be one of the nights, so bear with me for one moment while I go and grab them again. Because you. What is it, Rack?
I said I forgive you.
Oh, well, thank you so much. But will you forget? See, that therein lies the question. And I
Exactly like you say, you know, the whole idea of forgiving someone, you know, even if you don't forget, you know, that's true forgiveness. You don't necessarily forget what happened, but, you know, if you still remember the pain or the hurt or whatever, and you still genuinely forgive them, then you can kind of move on.
See, that's the whole problem. If you remember, if every time they do anything that triggers that, or if whatever happened, that a similar, even a distantly similar scenario is in the mix, and your hairs stand up and your stomach knots up, that is not forgiveness. Because forgiveness to me ends in a neutral zero. It's not forgiveness in spite of the pain. Or because of the years spent, it is forgiveness doesn't have to be qualified. It should just be forgiven. And if it is forgiven, then if it still weighs on you to the point where it gives you pause, even if you don't act on it or mention it, well, then is it really forgiveness? Or are you faking it till you make it, which is a phrase that I hate, by the way.
I remember that.
Yeah. So,
I think of it like, you know, if you don't act on it, if you truly, you know, let it go, remembering it is kind of different from, you know, acting on it. I don't think that's actively not forgiving somebody.
Well,
You can
forgive somebody, but if it ever comes up ever again and an argument and a fight, yeah, but you remember last time when you did this, and that's not forgiveness.
Right. Yeah. But
you
know,
just because you see it, if you still feel it, that's not forgiveness either.
I think if you could let it go, that's forgiveness.
That's the whole problem. If you still remember, if it still knots you up, even if you swallow it and don't say a word, it is not gone. You have not let it go. It hasn't turned into a distant memory where, you know, you can remember, you know, either being bullied in high school or disciplined by your parents or your first ever heartbreak. And when you remember those, there's a wistfulness, there's a pain, there's a longing, but it doesn't sit in your craw. It doesn't crawl out of your skin. It doesn't make your hair stand up in the back of your neck. It doesn't knot your stomach. So if you are in an active friendship relationship of some sort with anybody and they broke your trust and you choose to forgive that, for me, the process takes years. It could ever be that same neutral again because it's always going to be skewed a little to the right. But so up until it becomes neutral, then it is surface forgiveness, which to me falls under the category of a white lie. You want to forgive. You're trying to forgive. But until you can let it go, to me, that's not a true forgiveness. That's just making nice for the greater good.
Not remembering it isn't necessarily holding it against someone.
Well, in the context of forgive and forget, it is. Because the whole phrase forgive and forget is very much you forgive the thing and forget it happened in your mannerisms and the way it is and the way it affects your choices and the way it affects your relationship. You move on. It's not so much you forget it ever happened and erase it from your existence, because that's an impossibility. You know, where we our memories kind of shape who we are, our experiences. But in the context of said relationship with flaws, if it still is actively causing you pain, anxiety, internal distress, even if you don't share that with anybody, to me, that is not forgiveness yet. That is you trying to forgive. That is you starting the process. That is, you know, and it's baby steps. And it's painful the entire way because it feels like you're changing the definition of who you thought you were, depending on the situation. I mean, that's the way it works for me because I'm like, listen, you know, if this happens, you know, no, because no. And then it happens with somebody you care about, whatever it may be. It could be the simplest little thing. And it kind of makes you redefine things. And until you can get over it or through it or to the point where you no longer have that instance shaping your decisions in that relationship, until that happens, if that happens, then it's not truly forgiven because it's not, it has to be an all or nothing thing. It's not a partial thing. Yeah, I forgive you, but does not exist. It's like, I love you, but does not exist. You either love them or you don't, you know?
Right, but you're missing the point of what you're saying. Your whole forgive and forget, you're saying that this is why instances where you're not forgiving someone, but you know at the same time you can forget. You can forgive and forget. So you're talking about specific situation that you know. Well, if you can't forget it, well yeah, that's true. But you know the whole definition of what you're talking about is forgive and forget. So like if somebody you know forgets your birthday. Or something like that, you know.
An egregious thing. Those little things. I'm talking about, and I mentioned specifically, broken trust or broken love in a deep-seated friendship in a familial kind of way. In anything that permeates your being and changes who you are. Days and I mean about things like birthdays and being forgotten and overlooked over time weigh just the same. But I'm talking about an instance of. And we'll say perfidy, because perfidy is different than betrayal. You can accidentally betray somebody. I mean, if you tell something to somebody, because I can speak, and they are not clear on, you know, this is not for public consumption, and they mention something in passing and it comes back to you, well, do you feel betrayed? Yes. Should they have known? I don't believe should be a word, because if you don't tell them expressly and they misconstrue things, well, that's an accidental betrayal. But if you tell them this is between you and me and then somebody else comes at you and says, I heard this, well, that was a choice they made and that's perfidious and that's different. So if we're talking that kind of broken trust where it was a choice that they had to make knowing full well how you felt about it, but the relationship is bigger than that instance and you were trying to save that, it is a long process. So you can say, or like we all do, yeah, well, you know, I forgive you, or there's nothing to forgive or whatever it is, but it still sticks in your craw. So until you process it out, it's only forgiveness on paper, you know, and things don't always work as well in real life as they do on paper. And that's the problem I'm having, because I am very black and white, very right or wrong, very much no, you know. I would rather have – I am not ever a fan of, and I swear this gets in the way of so many things in my life. It's not even funny. I am not a fan of the concept of it's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission, because if you know it's you're going to have a hard time getting permission, then you know it's wrong, you shouldn't do it to begin with. So you know, the whole premise is BS, you know? So if someone's going to come at me after the fact and be like, oh, I am so sorry, I'm going to be like, oh, you're full of crap, because they knew better. So in this whole forgive and forget, I am not talking a literal forget, wipe the state, wipe it out of
right.
your existence and that kind of thing. That is not what I mean. What I mean is for that instance, for that pain to be neutralized, to stop boiling over. It's a process, and until that settles down, I don't believe that it qualifies as true forgiveness until it no longer shapes the decisions you make in that relationship. And we have a caller, 77. Is this Chris?
Yes. How you doing?
Hi. I am doing good. How are you?
A little bit tired, but that's the way it goes when you turn 60.
Oh, you're just young and spry.
Yeah, right.
I think that you are the only one on a team of voices that shares my area code. So there is that. We are not too far from each other. I mean, don't get me wrong, that area code, yeah, that area code spans, you know, Seminole to Spring Hill, and I'm on the top end of that. But, you know, we're not that far.
Yeah, I live in Wesley Chapel, but my phone is my – I work in St. Pete, so my phone is from my work.
Wesley Chapel, you are literally 25 minutes away from me.
There you go.
So you're closer than I thought. Look at that. Small, small world. So we are talking tonight about forgiving and forgetting, and because I am very black and white in the way I see the world, I mean, me and shades of gray are not friends. It breaks my brain, gives me anxiety. You know, I'm probably the most honest person you'll ever meet, so don't ask me something if you don't really want to know. And me and Rack were having a discussion about – oh, say hello, Rack.
Hello, Rick.
About is it really? Can you really call it forgiveness if you haven't, you know, gotten through it yet? Because it's a painful process to get through any kind of broken trust or broken love or any kind of perfidious betrayal. It takes a lot to swallow that back and suck it up for the greater good. And you know, it's a process. For me, it's a long, tedious, painful process. So where do you stand on, if you forgive somebody, like if you just overlook it and you accept it? See, to me, accepting what happened is different than forgiving what happened, than getting through it and moving on. I mean, that's the beginning of the process. So where do you stand on forgiving and forgetting? Is it forgiveness if you haven't forgotten it yet?
I think it's easier for me to forgive than forget. I mean, being who I am, I've always, like, you know, I've always been that person that, hey, I had a moment and then I didn't. And, you know, it's just in my upbringing that people make mistakes all the time, and you got to be able to forgive them for doing something, because you yourself are not perfect either, you know. So
very true.
Basically, the forgiving's okay, but does that mean I'm not slighted towards trusting you again or that kind of thing? No. So it's very hard for me to forget something once it goes awry. You know, it's like, okay, I forgive you. I can, you know, I won't hold it against you, but I just can't trust you again, kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but without
holding
trust.
It against you?
But without the trust, is the relationship ever the same? And can you rebuild that? And because that's a long, hard thing. And I was telling Rack that, and I'll get to what you said in a minute, Rack. I was telling him that if the pain is still shaping the decisions you make in that relationship or friendship or whatever, then it's not forgiven. You're making nice and accepting it and, you know, and trying to get past it. But until that is neutralized, it's not truly forgiven. I mean, that's in the, you know, definition of forgiveness, you know. And so it's a tough thing, and it's pretty much and I again hate this term, fake it till you make it, because it's all lies to me. So you want to forgive, and you're accepting what happened, and you're starting the process of moving on, and you know, on the surface it looks great, but the internal process, whether anybody knows it or not, you know, about what you're going through, is extremely painful. It can be long. It's awfully tedious. It's riddled with anxiety and self-doubt, and it's a long thing to finally get to a true forgiveness where whatever happened and it no longer influences now. It doesn't matter in the friendship or the relationship. You rebuild the trust, you this and that. And even, I don't know that it's possible. I just know that, you know, you pick your battles, and is it really worth the fight? Because it's hard, you know, it is hard to be as open and free as you were with somebody before trust is broken. And it's scary, you know, and it's a long process. So, you know, apparently I have a whole lot of stuff to say. And Rack, you had mentioned something a minute ago. What was that?
Well, I was commenting on what Greff said. He said, you know, I could forgive them, but I'm never going to trust them again. So is that forgiving them then? Like you said. Because
I forgive them for the act. In other words,
you accept it. And you don't hold it against them.
You forgive them for an act, right? But you can't. It's like an elephant never forgets.
I know what you're saying. You still approach them differently because of what happened, but you know, it's kind of a game of semantics in a way, because you know, now you're going to argue about the definition of forgiveness. You know, is forgiveness letting it go and being ambivalent about it, regardless of how you feel? Or is it like, well, because you're harboring these feelings, even if you're not manifesting them, that, well, you really don't forgive them.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's another expression, the other expression that I like to throw around is, well, feelings aren't facts. There's reasons why you feel a certain way, but it's not necessarily based on fact. It's that irrational thing that happens sometimes based on our life's experiences.
Well, all emotion is irrational. Emotion is not logical. Logic is logic. Emotions are completely irrational by design. So, but here's the thing. Our perception is our reality. So if our reality is shaped by mood, by emotion, by how we perceive things, then it is very much real for us, regardless of how anybody else sees it. And since we're the ones experiencing it, they can't say it's not real. So yes, I you know what I mean. It's very much that for me, and I'm just a stickler. And here's the thing about the definition of forgiveness. It's not a semantics thing. That's like saying, you know, a lie of omission isn't a lie. And I'm like, well, if you know that I believe something wrong and you're not correcting me, then you might as well have just told me there's something wrong to begin with. So a lie is a lie is a lie, no matter how you look at it. And so. I'm a little particular, very black and white, very right and wrong, very gray does not work for me. So I wanted to know where people stand on that matter of forgiveness, because there's a big difference between truly forgiving somebody where the emotions are neutral, where you can take them for what they are, understand they are flawed, accept those flaws, and still treat them, you know, with the same respect, the same care, the same understanding, without that broken trust skewing things. Will you ever trust them again? You know, probably not. But that aside, I have a hard time seeing people in the same light once I know what they're willing to lie about. They're just not the same person to me, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I can accept them. I can be friends with them. I can still be bonded to them within the parameters of, I know that you're okay. I'm gonna go and tell you all my business, and my father's gonna hate me. He doesn't listen to me. He doesn't know either, so I guess he won't. Okay, it goes like this. My father was not the most faithful person on the planet. And him, and this is way too much information, but bear with me. And him and my mom had this thing that, and you know, should any one of them, now my mom didn't, but if any one of them ever stayed out all night, you were gone. So he stayed out one night. I was like, I don't know, 18, 19. And so my mom made him march in, call us all up in for a family meeting, be like, hey, I did this. And then he moved out. He came back because my mom said, this is ridiculous. You're an idiot. Just get your butt back here. And that was her relationship with him. And she could forgive him all she wanted to. She can work through all that. And, you know, and that's not my relationship with my father. My relationship with my father was that if he ever caught me in a lie, I would be, well, I'd get the belt is what I would do because I'm old. And it was such a grand hypocrisy to me that it took me 2 years to be able to see him as he was, as flawed as he was, and pull his relationship with my mother out of my relationship with him. It took me 2 years to be able to respect him again because he didn't break my trust. He didn't lie to me. I have nothing to do with that part of his relationship. But it hurt just the same because the whole foundation of the family, yada, 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 how, you know, it all felt like lies. But to him as a person, it took me 2 years to be bothered with him, to give him any kind of real person. And I had to redefine who he was. I'm like, okay, well, he does all these things. He's a complete asshole, but I love him anyway. And because I know now that he's this complete asshole, then I don't expect him not to be that guy. And so you form your relationship around that. So do I forgive him for all that pain? Absolutely, I do. Oh, I guess I can. All right, then. There's that example. So, yes. And do I trust him? I trust him to be exactly who he is, you know? And like my mom could not keep her mouth shut about my business to all her friends ever. So you learn, you know, if you want other people's opinions, tell my mother. If you tell her, but she was really good. If you were very specific, do not share this with anybody. You had to list, including so-so, so-and-so, and so-and-so, then she was okay. But if you didn't list specifically, she would tell everybody. So, you know, you know what you can and can't do in certain relationships. But I still trusted her, just not with my personal beeswax when it comes to things like that, you know? So can you forgive? Yes. Can you forget? Yeah, well, obviously I still remember, but it doesn't color my decisions with them. You fall into a new understanding. You find a new normal, and that normal place, that new normal, is now your new neutral zero. It's your new foundation, and it may be very different from the one before. But it no longer harbors that pain. It no longer makes you question where they're going when they walk out the door. And that is a long process. And it's a painful process. And for me, until you get to that process, which, by the way, I didn't even know I got to that point until my father almost cried. And he's a very hard man. He is not a crier. And I guess I changed my demeanor with him. And he's just like, you're the only one left. I was like, for what? He was like, to treat me like a person. And I was like, oh, oops, my bad. That got me a little bit. I'm good. I rarely make myself cry, but that was a big thing. And I don't think about that because I completely forgot about it, you know, but I didn't know that I was treating him as less than, and it wasn't that I was treating him less than a person. I wasn't treating him like his daughter. Like I didn't treat him like he was my elder, like he was my father. He lost that respect for me. And when he gained that back, it was a big deal for him. And so it is a process that until that happens, and you don't even realize it happens, it just morphs into this new thing. To me, it's not really forgiveness. I mean, even if you say I forgive you, even if you treat them on the surface, it looks kind of the same. It feels different. It feels different until it no longer feels different. And when it no longer feels different to me, that's where forgiveness happens. And it's not in words. You know what I mean? I could be completely wrong and completely just, you know, off the deep end and just nitpicky about things, but that's just how it works for me. Y'all can feel free to say anything.
I forgive you.
So, you know, it's I don't know. I pick subjects because I'm going through things with people that I love. And, I mean, things from, you know, my aunt and unfortunateness because she kind of raised me half of my life. Not that my parents weren't in the picture, but my older sister was sickly, so my mom was always taking her somewhere. My little brother was whatever. I suffered from middle child syndrome. I don't know. My parents were never home because they were running around with the other kids, and so I was with my aunt a lot. I didn't think anything of it until I found out she was, well, less than a stellar human being. And then she is where I got most of my young childhood affection from. She is where I spent most of my time. And it took me, well, I'm still going through it, but it took me many, many years to completely analyze all the things that I do now that were seated in that childhood affection. Because the affection was not false. But if she lied about so many things, how could it not be false? And if I learned how to love in part by somebody who's inherently selfish and a complete liar, then what does that make me? And let me tell you, the struggle is real because you have to start redefining why you love, who you love, and how you love, and is this love if everything that she loved was wrong? And, you know, when it affects you deeply, it's a big deal. And even with her, do I forgive her? And I'm like, well, it's not really changing my life. I think I'm having a harder time forgiving myself, you know? Forgiving myself, believe it or not, for still loving her because I do. She's a huge part of my life. You don't just forget that. I don't trust her. I have no desire to be hanging out with her. I don't call her on Christmas. But that doesn't mean that I don't still have love for her. And the way my family is, I would never be able to be like, well, of course I still love her because then I'm the bad one. So, you know, it's a big process, all this forgiveness. Like, yeah, apparently tonight is therapy night. So sorry. So, my goodness. So, okay, I had started this show with Hatter's song, The Words You Cannot Say, because I couldn't find a song that said all the stuff that I just said in a concise, nice little melody. And it's funny because as I'm listening to the song, which I absolutely love, I was just like, oh, so it's I'm going to go through a few of his lyrics and I put it up on the board. Because I think that some of it is wonderfully fitting. It's like, I woke up from a memory, still lying here next to you, watching you as you dream, the dreams I thought I knew. And your smile shows the reasons I watched it all come true, and your touch is cold and distant, and I'm still here loving you. So there is that betrayal in there, that brokenness in there. And the whole thing is her, you know, is them going through this process, you know, just trying to run away, and I'm watching broken promises and the words you cannot say. And are there really words that can be said to assuage any kind of broken trust? Because I'm sorry. I'm sorry does not cut it, you know. It's like you can say I'm sorry to you. I have four kids. They tell me they're sorry for crap. They're not sorry for it all. You know, there's a difference, you know, between sincerity and whatnot. And that, to me, the difference is actions and understanding. Because if somebody's going to break your trust, I don't care who it is, I don't care who they are to you, if they don't feel bad enough to make some attempt to make that up to you, even if you don't want them to, then to me it's just words. If they don't feel bad enough to make an effort, then, you know, to me it doesn't feel sincere. You know, not that I need people to do things, but you know, act like you give a crap, act like you feel bad, you know, then maybe I'll believe you feel bad, you know? It's like, but I said I'm sorry. I don't care what you said. You said you love me too, ass. Oh, dear, this is a PG-13, so I can say ass. It's PG-13, right? Yes, okay, we're good. Like, oh, my goodness. I cannot stop talking. Okay, so I'm going to put you up, Mr. Gress, as the first poem of the evening. Are you okay with that?
I changed it again because I wanted a different one. So,
oh, you changed.
Well, I just changed the poem. I don't know if you got
all
the
I
one
ask?
That I wanted to do. Yep. Okay.
Okay. Just making sure I'm looking at the right thing.
Yeah, that's fine.
And
all
you
right.
are on
this
the board.
Is, this is all I ask. And this is kind of a personal poem from a few years ago. So here it goes. It's all I ask. I've never seen a sunset through your eyes, and I don't know all the whys. I just know I hate goodbyes. So tell me that you love me in the you and I. Taste my lips one last time. Tell me how divine the connection in Auld Lang Syne as the new year will begin in my planetary spin. All I ask, let the feeling be known before we're out on our own. No one will love you like I do. And even though we're through, I'm still a fan of you. Let's embrace and feel as one. Our love ain't never done. I'll keep the always on my mind as we try to find another place in time. Your fingers woven in my hand as we walk through the sand. I knew then you'll always be a large part of me. Just one last regret and say you'll do your best. Remember me in love. Remember the you and I. Love never says goodbye.
Oh, this reminds me of my favorite Adele song. And, oh, ha, ha, yeah, well, apparently it was the inspiration. That's funny. Oh, that's perfect. I mean, you did a great job with that then. Because that song makes me cry. There is something really beautiful, you know, that this, you know, let the feeling be known before we're on our own. No one will love you like I do, you know. And that's the thing that I've never understood about people, because my brain doesn't work that way, because apparently I'm a freak. If you are truly in love with somebody, if you have given them all of you, not holding anything back, you know, no holds barred, if you are all in and it goes south, I've never learned how to unlove somebody. I mean, things end, things change, all of that. And there is something so beautiful about wanting to leave on a gentle note than wanting to, like, curse each other, throw things, and be like, you know, yeah, forget you then, you know. But it's just a respect thing, a respect for what you had, for who you are as people and as a couple. And, you know, let's embrace and feel as one. Our love is never done. I love the idea of that because I can absolutely relate to it. I've never learned how to unlove somebody. And, I mean, don't get me wrong. If somebody has done me dirty and, you know, I haven't talked to them in years, I have no desire to call up the phone and to call them up and be like, well, hey, remember when you were an idiot? Oh, so do I. But I don't forget all of those, you know, years and all that time spent and all the things we learned and the peace and the comfort and the love. It's something to be cherished and something to be thankful for, even if it's over. And I think that you captured that whole entire thing so beautifully. You know, and, I mean, and again, it's a painful thing. And even if it's the best, there was a song I was going to play by Barry Manilow because he's my guilty pleasure. I love him. I must have seen him in concert a million times. And we'll forget that I said that. And the song is Even Now. And, you know, it's all about how he is perfectly in love with somebody. But whenever he goes through anything, he wants to share it with the other one, you know, as well. But, you know, you never lose that longing, that closeness. If they were your everything and they were who you turned to, you still kind of want to turn to them for the good things and the bad things, even if you know they were bad for you. And so I absolutely love this. And Rack and Tor, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought it was a beautiful expression of love, your poem, Rack. It's just one of those things, the respect for the emotion. I'm very big on the whole idea of, you know, things change between people sometimes, but it doesn't change the fact of what you had. You know, even when you look back, you know, it's you kind of wonder how you wound up where you wound up when things go south. But, you know, at the same time, sometimes it's almost like if you want to be biblical, you know, like denying somebody, you know, denying it ever happened, it ever existed. You can't undo that, you know, that history that you share, and you know, that emotion. I want to say it's something that, you know, it's not honest to try and pretend like, you know, I don't know what I'm trying to say. It's just a feeling about how, you know, what it was. I mean, it may not be that now, but you know, to make it, some people go back and try and make it like, you know, well, maybe it never was, maybe it was a lie, or you know, it's just dishonoring it. That's kind of what I'm trying to think. It's just I can't think like, I don't think like that. And that's kind of what I get from this. This is like, you know, don't forget, you know, what we had. You know, it was, you know, we had our moment in the sun or whatever. It may not have lasted. It may have changed, but, you know, there's no denying what it was. And, you know, nobody else will ever give you what I gave you. You know, that's a feeling between us. You know, that's also, you know, a unique experience. I always believe that, you know, different people bring out different things in each other. And sometimes when you find that right person, you know, nobody else will ever make you feel that way. And, you know, I get that a little bit from this piece, too. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
I wrote this when I wrote this poem, I was listening to old Harry Chapman. I don't know if you guys know he is. But one of my favorite songs by him is Driving in My Taxi. It's about this guy, he was going to be an actress and I was going to learn how to fly is on it. And basically that gets in his taxi was one of his old time lovers from the time before. And he's down in his life and she's down on her life. And they're both putting up these fronts that they're two different people, and he's feeling regret because he gives him $20 like he's nothing. So he puts his money in his shirt and he drives off. And it's like one of those sad songs that kind of like hits you in the moment, you know. And it's kind of like, you know, why, you know, you had something that was good. Why are you gonna stress over it as far as when it goes? I mean, as long as you're, you know, sometimes people are cheating on something, but there's sometimes when it just, something just happens within a relationship. And like my mom said, and you know, good wise people always say is, love never fails. We fail love because there is some work to being in love with someone. Sometimes you've got to let go of some of your things that you hold important to accommodate those that, you know, that's in your life that you love, because sometimes we're very selfish and we don't want to do those things. The next thing you know, that selfishness causes you to lose something that was so valuable. And then that person thinks that you're putting yourself before them. So it becomes a sore point within the relationship. The next thing you know, it doesn't work out.
You know, and that speaks to me of an unfortunate thing that is human nature, which is a lack of communication, where we expect people to know what we're thinking or what we mean. And you know, that is just, you know, never the case. You know, inflection or what we say versus how we say it, and depending on their mood, they take it the wrong way. And again, me being a stickler, and Rack will attest to this, I am very nitpicky about how I say things and defining things. And by this, I mean that. And I annoy myself to the point where I'm like, I am so sorry, I'm an idiot. You know, but you go through it so many times that it's just, it's kind of a fail-safe. Like, you know, this is what I said. And the second you realize it might be taken some other kind of way, I'm like, and by this, I mean this exactly. And I annoy the crap out of everybody, but they understand me. And, because, you know, it's very easy to walk in and you had a bad day and somebody, you know, asks you something about it and you're like, well, I don't want to talk about it. And because they weren't having a great day, they're like, well, he just doesn't want to talk about it to me. You know what I mean? And those two things have nothing to do with anything except for your own heads. And but it could be the seed that starts the eventual downfall of a relationship because nobody extrapolates and you're afraid to ask because you don't really want to know because what if you're right? And you know, we are our own worst enemies across the board, you know? So precision of language can save relationships. But, you know, the English language is anything but precise. So good luck with that.
You know? So my absolute favorite quote, many men say what they mean but don't always mean what they say because words are slippery and thought is viscous.
There you go.
It's like I know what I thought I said, but I don't know how you interpreted it.
Exactly. Exactly. Just like, you know, human nature, it cracks me up. People are constantly, I have a lot of haters. People either tend to love me or hate me. I don't have a whole lot of middle ground. I'd like nothing in my life is gray. And so people are with the best of intentions, are constantly like, you know, so-and-so thinks, I'm like, it's not my business. If they don't want to tell me what they think about me, I don't need to know what they think about me. It's not my business. People can think what they want. I don't need to know. I appreciate it, though. You know? And people look at me like I am crazy because I tend to want to know all the things all the time for me to be able to make a decision in any kind of relationship. But if they're not my friend and they're not in my life, I don't care. You know, they can be saying whatever the heck they want to. They don't know me, and obviously I don't want to know them, so we're good.
If I want any shit from you, I'll squeeze your head.
There you go. So I put Miss K on the board, and I am going to read her. And this is Fractured Gateways, Green Belt, The Night Hit of Never Being Home. And this is by K. And it goes like this. Thinning out the depths of stain. Is it ever equal with you, though? Such a state to the stars, anorexic misappropriation to tilt the veins, spills the blood. Two-headed beast, glittered in gold, wouldn't like this. Blindfold the switch, sangria to flexion and bare-chested twirls, sweat to brine the brow, ellipsis the blur, rippling blue pencil, yellow punctuations to demerit, burn the forest. Land is branching in shade to touch the rain. Would you feel her weeping? Does the window pane reflect its sleeplessness? Graft to grindstones, toils in pallid silence, wispy and ashen pale of closed eyes. Red eye, bullheaded, bone dry, barricaded in earth suspended screams. The vanity of crocus, tear to tallow, pox the blind. End poem. You know, this whole the wispy of ashen pales of closed eyes, red eye, bullheaded, bone dry, barricaded. Does that not feel like those late night fights that you're at the end of that start like before dinner and you can't even eat because you're so upset and you're so exhausted and you have to get up the next morning, but you still haven't gotten through to the other person and they won't just, you know, acquiesce, even if they're wrong, you know, you know, where you're exhausted and you're crying. Hold on a second. Okay. I'm sorry. They're going to go walk my dog and couldn't find the leash. And so it's, you know, when you've been crying, like angry crying, because I am that person. My tears of frustration, anxiety, anger, they are a real thing. And I always preface it with, I am not crying. I am just angry because, you know, people want to be like, oh, here comes the waterworks. No. This is how things manifest. It boils over. And that's just what that feels like. And I love the cadence of that because it's a very specific kind of, it kind of amps up a little bit. And it's quite the bold statement. But, you know, thinning out the depths of stain. First of all, is it ever equal with you, though? That opening two lines is absolutely the point of tonight's theme. I mean, you know, they're trying to make it up. Okay, here, I stained our relationship. Okay, and I am trying to make it up to you. I am trying. But can I ever pay that debt? When is it ever enough? How much do I have to do? I did one thing. Here I am, you know, 20 bigger things later, and you still can't forget the one thing, you know? And so they're still fighting at it, you know, at the end of the day, you know, way down the road, there's a poem. And so I absolutely love that you brought this, because it goes through all of these little moments that you have to go through in this pain, this anorexic misappropriation. I love that turn of phrase. I absolutely do. To tilt the vein spills the blood. You know, this feels like somebody is giving their all, and it's just, you know, not working, you know, or they gave their all and now they can't see why, the other person can't see why it's just not enough, and there's just no balancing of the scales. And can you ever balance the scales if somebody thinks what they did wasn't that bad and you think it ruins everything? You know, if it is perceived on two different you know, on two different ends of the spectrum, could you ever then meet in the middle, you know? So, Gress, what are your thoughts on Kay's poem?
I kind of, like, think that I think some of what you said is, like, you know how, like, you could do 1,000 things right and you do one thing wrong and people hold that one thing against you? And you've done what you needed to do to make it right. In other words, you've done everything that you possibly can. You can't go back in time and fix it, of course. But you feel like you're being punished for something that was an accident. Sometimes some things are accidents, or you say things in rush, or you pass judgment on people without thinking things through. We all do that. And then you're held, you have that one blemish on your friendship that you're like, you know, what about these things I've done, you know, all through a relationship? I've done this and that. And that one time I didn't come and help you, you're holding that against me. You know, it's like sometimes you can't be there for every person for everything that they go on in their lives. But yet some people, like, if you don't jump, it's like, oh my God, you're not helping, you know?
And it's usually those people that don't jump themselves.
Yeah. It's like a mislabeled action. It's like, I've been in that situation where you've done, you know, you're the best that you can be as a friend. You always try to be there. You try to just get advice. Sometimes you just, something's going on in your life that you can't, you know, you can't deal with yourself.
Oh, how dare you be human.
For other people. Yeah, and sometimes you're just like, I wish I could have been there, but at this time I have something in my life that's going on too. And I know that sometimes people think we're selfish, but it's not always like that. It's like,
exactly.
It's like you have your child or you have something else that's going on. And
well, you know, life happens.
You know? And it's like your people get hold you like, well, you didn't, you know, you're supposed to come and do this for me, and now I'm going to hold it against you forever.
You know, I
and
usually
like,
get the, well, you did this for so-and-so, and you've only known them for like 3 months, and I've known you for 10 years, and you couldn't do that for me? Well, yeah, not at the time you asked me to, so sorry. Ask me again next week,
also,
I'm free.
There's people that can come in your life for just like, you know, few weeks, but they've impacted your life more than anybody that you've ever met.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
Season, a reason, or a lifetime.
It's like, oh my God, it's like unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. I loved her poem, though. She had very good wording, and I love the part. I like this part right here. It's like, to tilt the vein spills the blood. Two-headed be glittered in gold wouldn't like this. Blindfold the switch. In other words, like, no, the switch is off, but we don't know if it's on or off with this person.
Yeah, I'm loving
really,
how blindfold the switch
metaphor.
Sounds like blindfold this witch.
Yeah.
But it's so good because it's like you don't know whether that it's on or off, right? Because you have no knowledge of that. So that, I like that kind of like writing there. I like that because it's something I haven't seen, and I like the wording on that. So that was really good.
Absolutely. And before I get a comment from you, Rack, let's say hello to Sweet Pea.
Hello, my darling. Hello, hello, hello. Hello, hello, hello.
Hello. We are discussing forgiveness and how oftentimes it's kind of a crap. Well, that's my view, but, you know, I'm not skewed. It's fine. And so we just are getting comments on Kay's poem. I don't know if you've had a chance to read it, but I'm rocking tour. What are you? Well, no worries.
I really enjoyed it, Kay. I like the colors. You kind of shaded the emotion with your use of color in this. But there's so many different things that bounce through my head. In hearing it, one of them is the idea of when something bothers somebody, that should be enough for the other person. You don't need the reasoning behind it, you know. And some people want to jump on that whole, you know, I don't know why it bothers you. Well, kind of. I mean, understanding
is
a big part.
That's not the point, though.
Right, exactly. Understanding helps, but, you know, you don't have to understand. The fact that it bothers them should be enough for you. But to want to quantify it, and then because that leads to arguing why. And no, because now I'm invalidating your feelings, no. But you know, I mean, it's a whole mess of crap. But I love that there's a depth to this that I'm trying hard to articulate, which you did in metaphor beautifully, and I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really wonderful.
Awesomeness. It was very vibrant. I had a fun time reading that poem too. And let's say hello to Miss Deborah Lee. Hello, hello.
Hello.
And we have AP Taylor on the board, so he's there saying hello, and and working off of an iffy flight schedule, apparently. So I put him on the board, and I am about to play him. You guys ready for the deliciousness?
Always.
Here we go.
Well, pretty bird, I'm sorry I can't be there. I'm sitting in a board meeting, and I am chairing the board meeting, and so it's very hard to get everybody to stop talking and get me to get on the phone to you for 10 or 15 minutes without looking a little bit wrong. Anyway, to your theme, this is stuck, and it goes a little bit like this. There were the excuses, nicely frosted with lies. So I'm on the plane early, rather commune with skies. For clouds just do mosey, and rains they fall on down. None of the many angles I found from you in your town. And having flown hours with the booking set for weeks, been great to see you once, but instead I stared at peaks. Don't get me wrong, the scenery was first class, but yet somehow disappointing. Like a common, without grass. So in the plane I sit as you are texting apologies, which is all well and good, but does little to appease. Because this is my only trip. Airport's few chairs left to cool. Please get me somewhere else. Now the place has run out of fuel. End poem. True story.
I love that. True story. he just cracks me up. I love this. This, you know, Yeah, apologies are all well and good. You know what? Yeah, good. Keep on talking. Especially in this scenario, when somebody makes plans, you know, weeks in advance, and you're looking forward to something, and you don't bother to take the time, and then they leave early, and she's like, yeah, so sorry. You know what? No. It's not enough. It's not good enough. You know? If it was an emergency, if something could not be avoided, if it was, even a moment where you could have been like, can we reschedule or something like that, I can see this. But this kind of disappointment, it feels like you've been slighted. It feels like, you know, I don't know if you've ever had a friendship or a relationship like this, but apparently I get all the horrible things. When you don't forget a birthday or an anniversary, or you don't forget little things, or you remind people that they have a dentist appointment, or you make sure that they picked up something that they've been meaning to pick up, or you say all these little things, and they never ask you how you are, or your birthday comes and goes for umpteen years without so much as a happy birthday on your birthday. And you know, all those oversights make you feel diminished, you know? It's like if you're going out of your way to go spend time with somebody who didn't bother to clear their schedule enough to be able to spend time with you, how do you get over that? Like, how do you, oh, I'm so sorry. That's not cut it. I'd rather look at the clouds myself, you know? It's just, I'd rather commune with the skies. You know, they don't talk back. They don't give you crap. They don't lie to you. They are what they are, and they're quite beautiful and peaceful just the same. So I absolutely love this. And so then the question is, do you forgive the oversights? Do you forgive the scheduling conflicts? Do you forgive them when they're on a grand scale like this, when it isn't just the, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot that you had a dentist appointment, you know, whatever it is that we planned on doing, you know, my bad. If it's not something small like that, this is a big deal. And so there's that kind of dismissiveness, you know? So, yeah, that is not okay. And to forgive that, like, do you just, like, reschedule that? No. Because if they are not making plans, clearing their schedule, hopping on a plane to see you, you know, making the same effort, then why bother? I would feel like nothing. I personally would feel like, well, I see how important I am to you, whatever. Yeah, you know, call me when you call me. We'll see if I answer the phone. So, Sweet Pea, what are your thoughts on stuck?
Well, personally, I think, I wish I could rescue from the hell called the airport, but I think this is not a poem, but an actual customer service section that should be put in all airplane employee handbooks. This is more of a tailored customer service training piece of material, AP, and I found it to be perfect. So from an HR point of view, this is a training piece of material, not necessarily a poem. It's written very well, but I love it.
Absolutely. And Raconteur, your thoughts?
Yeah, there's a quote I'm trying to remember about an option, but I can't straighten it out in my brain. But the idea of this is you know, very poignant in the sense of, the whole, if it's unavoidable feeling, the whole being, you mentioned being slighted, there's an emotion that it grabs it's kind of hard to get over, because like you said, it's one thing to feel slighted about it, it's another thing to acknowledge that, you know, it might have been unavoidable, and that's kind of the whole center of it. You know, do you forgive someone for something that they have no control over? You know, do you want that whole, well, you know, I'm going to miss my flight anyway, so, you know, I want to hang out, or I want to make that meeting. It's a jumbled mess of, but articulately put, AP, a lot more so than my comment. Thank you.
And Agrisman, your thoughts? Gress?
So I was going to say, it's kind of funny, but not funny. It's like, you know, it's like you made all this effort to go see somebody. You know, you can be flying to their location, and you've done all these things that you want, you know, to meet them. And you get there, and it's like no big deal. It's like, oh, okay, you're here. This is this and this and that. And okay, no plans. I can't really make plans with you now because I got my own things going on, even though you got to take time to, you know, you planned it, you talk to them, and then you get there, and it's a different story, you know. I that's kind of like what I'm getting out of the poem. And, of course, I love the rhyming part of it, you know, and it's kind of humorous at the end. You know, stuck without fuel, kind of like a you know, a double entendre there as far as, like, I'm stuck because I didn't get to do all the things I want, and now I'm stuck here now even more because the plane's not here, right? I liked it a lot. Good job, AP.
Absolutely. And Ms. Deborah Lee, your thoughts?
Well, I thought he did a pretty good job of showing the stuff that was going on, but trying to every now and then throw in something upbeat, like, you know, the clouds are there and they mosey by, or was that, don't get me wrong, the scenery was first class, but, you know, it's, so it was just like, and there was irony of, I'm sitting here and I'm not seeing you, but it's all good. So, like, the back and forth with the sarcasm was really cool. And because this was the carryover and he was talking in the beginning about the board meeting, it kind of made me laugh because, like, last week it was the board meeting, this week it's the airplane flight. And I thought, you know, lots of happens when a big shot rules the world. Sometimes you just can't call in and read his own poetry. So I thought it was really cool.
I was thrilled that he left us a recording because I couldn't have done it justice. So that was fabulous. But yeah, you know, it's funny because I've had people come visit me or I've gone to go visit people. And I'm a very easy person. If you have errands to run, I don't care what we're doing so long as we're sharing time. You know, it doesn't matter to me, you know. But I know so many people that they expect everybody's life to stop for this certain amount of time but without discussing. And I'm not saying that that's what he meant here. I'm just talking, you know, people I know are very, 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 if I'm going to go see somebody, I need 100% of their time. Like, life does not exist. Yet if they're going to go and visit these people, they're just like, well, I need to run this errand and this errand and this errand. So there's a certain lopsidedness a lot of times too, which is unfortunate. Because, you know, life doesn't have to stop, but you know, it might be nice if you could share some time that, you know, is limited. So, yeah, I can understand that frustration. Absolutely. So I put Rapid Tour up on the board, and there is not a recording. So, Miss Sweet Pea, would you do me the honor of reading for him? Sweetness.
Sorry, I was on mute. Dogs are barking. Okay. Forget about forgetting by Rack and Tor. Forgiveness is a myth when our transgressions are like zombies that refuse to die, living like specters amid the shadows of memories, even present along the unseen. Although unseen, sorry guys, drinking in those moments we shared, intoxicated by the fermented truth, heedless of the inevitable hangover, threatening to decimate all that remains, setting sail over choppy seas, trying to weather the journey ahead, uncertain if the life raft is seaworthy, or that the anchor will only ensure that we drown. Eventually the salt water, collecting on the foundation, turns to rust, eating away what I once believed to be unshakable, causing the collapse of everything around me, leaving me to piece together what I cared about. Can't read that word, I'm sorry.
Derelict.
Derelict? Derelict, Sorry, I really need to put my glasses on. Derelict in the rumble of the aftermath. I'm so sorry I put your poem, Raconteur. I am going to go find my glasses. And poem. That was a horrible read. I'm so sorry.
Oh, you are fine. Forget about forgiving. You know, I just love that title. I do. Because, you know, sometimes it just ain't worth it. You know, it really isn't. But this poem, this whole forgiveness is a myth, you know, when our transgressions are like zombies that refuse to die, hence the never letting something go and always having it thrown back in your face. Living like specters amid the shadows of memories, ever present although unseen, which is unfortunate because you have all these wonderful memories, all of the love, all of the swelling of a relationship marred by that one unfortunate experience, whatever it is. It doesn't even have to be detrimental for it to fester into this thing that derails everything. If they just can't let it go, you know? So if they can't let it go, and here's the thing, if they can't let it go, and this is what happens, you know, there's resentment that ensues in silence because you thought that you were forgiven, but then you weren't. And then you sit there and you try to save it. And somebody is, you know, somebody's filling the boat with water as you're trying to chuck the water out of the boat and save things. And then it's gone, and you're picking through the bits and pieces of what's left over, trying to find the things that you still care about, but it's all shattered, and it's heartbreaking. But absolutely what happens when, you know, that whole forgetting doesn't happen and you can't get to that nice neutral ground after the fact, if it never goes away, if it's always there. For instance, there was this girl, one of my sons was friends with this neighbor girl down the way since they were little. You know, she was an odd duck to begin with, but when she was 12, they were in middle school, like seventh grade. We were behind them in a car, and I was like, wait, isn't that so-and-so? I was like, yeah, and we sat there at a red light, literally watching her stare out the window, picking her boogers, eating her boogers. Like, she was digging for gold and eating them. She was 12 years old. To this day, they are 19. And he I'm like, have you run into Booger Girl? She's a Booger Girl since the time she was. I cannot forget that. I mean, she was 12. She's almost a teenager. That's, I mean, if you're going to eat your boogers when you're four, that's different, you know? It's different than.
Oh, God, you almost made me vomit.
Well, you know, this is my life. And so those things you can't forget, she will forever be marred. She's a beautiful girl, and I don't care. I know what's been in her mouth. It is not okay. You know, just no. I can't
forget
it. There's no excuses. And so I can see that. It just colors things, you know. So if you're actually in a relationship and there's those little pinpricks, those little snapshots of things that pop up in your slideshow of memories first, that you can't tuck them in behind everything else and then happen across them, you know, on occasion. They're just always there before everything else, and that's where things go south. So, Deborah Lee, what are your thoughts on Rack's poem?
Well, right from that first stanza, forgiveness, I mean, the first line, actually, forgiveness is a myth. I was like, okay, I hear you. I sometimes believe that to be true. When our transgressions are like zombies that refuse to die, living like specters in the shadows, memories over present, although unseen. It's like that nagging in the back. Even if you try to forgive, it's not the forgiveness that's the hardest part. It's forgetting the thing that you had to forgive, and it's like a vicious circle. Setting sail over choppy seas, trying to weather the journey ahead, uncertain if the life raft is seaworthy. It's like you're just not sure if you can trust that life raft anymore. There's something like you forgive the person who drops the plate and glues it back together for you, but that plate's never the same. So it's like maybe it is a myth. I thought this was a very clever take on the question posed, and at the end there, causing the collapse of everything around me, leaving me to piece together what I care about, derelict in the rubble of the aftermath. It's just, I can tour you in that hurt locker.
I'm telling you.
Sure.
Thanks, but, you know, Deb, you touched on something, Deb, you know, when you smash a plate and it's never the same, because there's that Japanese notion of kintsugi or kintsugori, kintsuku, well, anyway, we're just going to call it kintsugi, and where it's more beautiful for having been broken, where they take the pieces and they bind them together with gold, and so it's fully functional and cracked as it is, but now it means more. And so I love the idea of that. I love that you mentioned it being shattered and not the same, because it takes so much effort, painstaking, like minutia, to go and try to repair it in a stronger bond. And that's a painful process. And, you know, there ain't a whole lot of us that have that in us, you know, more than once, like ever in a lifetime, you know. It's a tedious process. So it has to be a really important something to go through the process that's painful every step of the way. But I love the idea of the possibility of it being stronger after, when you go through the other side and you get to the actual forgiveness where it doesn't really weigh much of anything anymore. It's something that happened, and now something else is happening, and it's good. And so I kind of love that whole metaphor for life, relationships and stuff. And so I'm kind of glad that you mentioned that. And Gress, what are your thoughts on Rack's poem?
I guess I took out a little bit different thing. Is like, you know how you have a relationship and you know the typical signs on the road.
You're breaking up a little bit.
Oh, I'm a relationship, and you don't want to see, you got all these things that are telling you these signs that it's going down, but you're like, maybe I'm just overlooking it, or maybe I'm not, maybe it's not a big thing. And then all of a sudden, it's all the house of cards just comes down. And you're like, oh, all the little things did add up to something more than you thought it did. You know what I mean? It's like all the things that you let go, and next thing you know, it's like all these things that you just let go are comes crashing down on you. Like at the end, it's like the realization that maybe things weren't as good as you thought it was.
Thanks, Chris.
Absolutely. And Miss Sweet, you read it. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are that I think he nails the whole concept of if you don't forgive, you are like zombies. That it, because once a zombie bites you, you become like the walking dead on earth. So this idea of not forgiving is literally just two people being dead. They're dead inside. They know nothing else around them. They're just walking this earth without feeling of anything, because you're just focused on that. You've just kind of been bitten by that, and there's nothing else. You know, you just have nothing, no feeling, no anything that you can really wrap yourself around. You can't, you're so focused on that resentment and that regret in that moment, you don't move forward. And a lot of the rest of your life becomes chaos, too. So I kind of really like that metaphor and that symbolism in there.
Absolutely.
That's how I saw it.
Thank you.
You know, when things get stagnant, nothing good comes out of that. You know, there's always got to be that kind of that willingness to listen, to try to understand. And even if it's 16 of the same conversation, the willingness to still have that conversation says a lot about what the relationship or friendship or whatever means, because when you're all, I don't want to hear it anymore, or, you know, then that's not okay, even if it's tedious, because people process it at different speeds. On the other hand, like this poem, to me, it's all, you know, it doesn't matter. It could be like one of the biggest fights I used to have when I first started dating my husband was toothpaste. Believe it or not, we hardly ever fought, but it was toothpaste because I squeeze it from the bottom for the love of all things holy. And he is, I'm going to grab it where I want to. So instead of fighting, I got him his own toothpaste. You leave mine alone. We are good. But it's those little things that you can, you know, if they know it doesn't take much to squeeze it from the bottom and then they look you in the face and squeeze it from the middle over and over and over. I can see where somebody can let something little like that fester and fester and fester, and then they extrapolate that as spite and put that into other things, and that colors their reactions, and it grows into a whole mess from what, you know, really it amounts to absolutely nothing. And yeah, and it can completely just crack everything, because what kind of a person is going to want to extrapolate all of that from toothpaste? What must they really think? Because that's not what love looks like to me. So, you know, I love poems that make you think about all kinds of things, you know. And so, Miss Sweet Pea, you are on the board. Are you ready to read?
I am. I wasn't sure you got my poem. It was stuck. Yeah, slipped it in there real quick. So, this is Keeper of the Dandelion Secrets. The heat of the southern sun had no mercy as beads of sweat dripped from the tiny ringlets that curled at the base of her swan-like neck. Copper tones framed her pale, freckled face. Eyes glared ahead in shades of coming ocean storms as a battle between yellow ribbons and winds raged. An unaltered beauty in the land of Jezebels. She dons a smile that hides all fails of the dragon that impaled her forever after. Her legs walked in the scent of magnolias, covering the stench of whiskey lies, wrapped in the shadows of forget-me-not, forgive-me cries. Weeds of distrust still soiled, the bonds of trust lay spoiled. The woman's forgiveness is uncoiled, but for the child, a wish on dandelion flower kept her secrets of being disloyal. End poem.
I do so love the way you read, my dear. You know, her legs walked in the scent of magnolias, covering the stench of whiskey lies. Hey, nothing ever good comes from whiskey. I'm just saying. And I'm wrapped in the shadows of forget me not, forgive me cries. You know, that broke me. That actually pulled me to places. Like, if you know that place, you know that place. You know? And I know that we live in a land of actions speak louder than words, but we also live in a land of sometimes we have to do what we have to do just to feel alive or be human, and we are fallible across the board by design, and that's okay. Weeds of distrust still soiled. The bonds of trust lay spoiled. You know, it's heartbreaking, you know, but for the child, a wish on a dandelion flower kept her secrets of being disloyal. And here's that thing when you're walking through, you know, dandelions, or when you see one. When I moved up here, down south in South Florida, dandelions are tiny little things, like maybe if you get a head the size of a nickel, it's a big dandelion. You move up here, the thing's the size of your face. It's crazy. And so it's really hard, even now, being as old as I am, to not want to pick one up and, you know, wish against wishes, you know? And I think they keep a lot of secrets, those wishes. Those are things you don't ever tell anybody because, you know, if you tell them, they don't come true. So I love that it goes from being disloyal to the innocence of a child in the same fell swoop, because you know what? It doesn't have to be one or the other. We are all things all the time. And I just love this. I do. It's wistful. And you've got those ribbons and the wind and this perfectly set image. And then it's, you know, a land of Jezebels and, you know, and that smile that hides everything fallible, every wrong thing, you know, that wonderfully innocent smile that it's just beautiful, absolutely beautiful. So Raconteur, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I could talk about this all night, sweet. I really love this.
Thank you.
I mean, there's so much about it that you know, it's that thing that you do that I love that you do. You give us these images, the perfect description of a child, you know, from the swan-like neck to the ringlets. I mean, all of it, it's just, you know, you can't not envision a little girl. And, you know, you throw in the sunlight, just, you know, the sudden heat and everything, just as icing on the cake. But then, you know, when you boil down to the subject of what you're talking about, as sweet as it sounds, you're talking about something that sounds, you know, painful as, you know, I want to say it sounds like, you know, child abuse in the worst way, as far as, you know, the whiskey lies leads me to think, you know, of, you know, the worst possible outcome. It's one of those things, and the pain comes out in that. The whole thing, as beautiful as it sounds, is like, you know, and the line with the flowers, when you talk about what was it? I love the whole thing. It's just stunning. It really was, and. You know, again, I really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Raconteur, very much. I appreciate it.
And what are your thoughts, Deb?
Well, as usual, it's a powerhouse. Sweet, you practically, I feel like you bled for this one. The emotion is so hard-hitting. Your descriptions are like the heat of the southern sun had no mercy as beads of sweat dripped from her tiny ringlets. And I mean, you could see you painted the details, and you got you got 15 lines here. And in that short amount of time, you wrapped me up in the feel of this, of the dragons that impaled her forever after. How sad is the thought of the dragon impaling that you know, that the forever after implies that happily ever after that, you know, isn't happening. And wrapped in the shadows of forget me not, forgive me cries. But what struck me is like towards the end there where it's, you know, the distrust is still soiled. But there's the woman's forgiveness uncoiled, but the child, that child inside, the wish on the dandelion flower kept the secrets of being disloyal. It again, a powerhouse. I am always in awe of you. I wish you thought you wrote as powerfully as I do.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's right.
So do I.
So I have you up on the board, Deb. So if you don't mind, let us know what is coming up and then read your poem.
I can do that. Tomorrow is Liquid Damage, and she is doing open poetry. It's her monthly adventure into whatever you would like to share with her. I'm double checking to make sure, but I believe she goes live at 10 p.m. And then on Saturday night, you can hang out with me and AP and Hatter. And Hatter's topic is keys, wherever that word may have taken you. And I believe that is 10 as well. And then on Monday, I keep saying, you all knew it had to be coming at some point, but Monday is personal prompt Monday, and the topic is butterflies, but not just because I love butterflies, but because I heard an amazing song called Send Me a Butterfly, and I was so touched and so blown away that I intentionally, even though I have my topic board in my draft all the way till February, I made this topic because I was so touched by the song. So I'm anxious to see how it touches others. And that's at 10 o'clock as well. So 10 o'clock seems to be the witching hour, for lack of a better expression.
Awesomeness. All good things. Sounds like it's going to be a fun weekend of shows. So are you ready to read, Deb?
Sure.
Awesomeness.
I can do that. Okay. This is called Forgiving Is For Me, But Not Forgetting Is Too. Here we go. Two shoulders weightlifting the blues throb. My shoes walk over all those booby traps, those who plan like landmines to trip me. But I spy the red flags, then this girl snaps. The brain flashes the signs once camouflaged by the two faces you wear to hide all the rage. Cracks in that porcelain on the mask spread, leaving the face neath the clay at center stage. Stewing in the Dolores juices yanks me down, fueling the grin that you paint over with lipstick. Blueprinting the battlefield all for another round. But the red beeswax you glossed is too thick. This chick shall not fall for every dirty little trick. The whiplash heals from my turning my cheek, and blinders show all the slime trails you leave. Punctured flesh cuts like razor-edged daggers, heals and etches scars in the webs you weave. With every recorded ache locked inside of me, tied to dirty lies, the forked tongue wags weep. Now, as the smile dresses my face, you snicker, plastering the plastic grin that you now display from seeing me bending, not breaking to pieces, marking the kinks in the armor you sport today. That plan you hatched to knock me in the dirt and stain the periwinkle view with shades gray backfires and neon rainbows curve over the bay. Cornflower blue hues, the color of the landscape views, cradling the opal clouds filled with April showers to water the gold daffodils and purple hyacinths, perfuming the breeze and blooming the flowers. End poem.
Well, you know, they deserve it all. I mean, I am absolutely, you know, but I spy the red flags, you know, as you're walking over the booby traps and those landmines that they set to trip you up. You know, yeah, you see the real deal. You see what's going on. I absolutely love that. Stealing in my dolorous juices yanks me down, fueling the grin you paint over with lipstick, you know. It's a hard place to be because things affect us, you know? So when you sit there in that pain, in the weight of all of these attempts at trickery, you know, I mean, it's hard not to be like, you know, what the heck and why and all of that. But you're all like, well, here's the whiplash. Here, I'm going to spew my color back in your gray and you can basically kiss it. Absolutely love that. I love that. Now, I have a question about your AN. Was that your prompt or is that your addendum?
I wrote Never Let the Haters Hold You Back. You can't stop the smothers. You carry a grudge. It's too heavy. I think that portion. No, actually, that was all me. The prompt is always forgive your enemies. Nothing annoys them so much.
Can you please read your AN?
Oh, yeah, that part was me, too. Never let the haters hold you back. You can't stop to smell the flowers if you carry a grudge. It's too heavy to bend and sniff. So forgive to lighten up your own load, but never forget lessons that cause the brain shift.
Absolutely. Absolutely, absolutely. I love that, by the way. Because, you know, a certain amount of acceptance, you know, that all right, this happened, it is what it is, and you could either let that bore into your essence, or you can, you know, wash off the stink and turn and go on your way in whatever direction you were heading to begin with. And it's hard not to get stuck beneath the tar of somebody else's nonsense. So I absolutely love that. I do, and I love that word dolorous. I mean, you don't see that very often. I love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. I'm a big word nerd. You know, now as the smile dresses my face, you snicker, plastering the plastic grin, the grin that you now display. I love that because, you know, they people don't admit anything. They're like, oh, and, you know, and to be the one that causes that nonsense after their awful, sinful smirks, not for nothing. It kind of feels good. You know, I'm all about that whole, you did it to yourself. So sorry, not sorry, you know? So I absolutely love that. So, Raph, what are your thoughts?
I really like this, your author's notes kind of say it all, and I really love that idea, too, of, you know, turn the other cheek, nothing pisses them off more. You know, what I mean, it's like, you know, forgiving someone is what you're supposed to do, but, you know, that's kind of like the gravy. It's like, and it's you know, it's going to piss them off, too. So I like that. You know, that's a good philosophy, I think. but the whole thing, you have beautiful turn of phrase throughout, and the idea of, you know, listen, you may think just because I'm forgiving you doesn't mean I don't know what you're up to. You know, and that's the bottom line in this, I think, too, is like, you know, I'm gonna let it go because it's the right thing to do, but you know, I see what's going on, and I like that. I like the whole piece.
Thank you very much, Rackendor.
It reminds me of one of my favorite quotes: "Is don't ever mistake my silence for weakness." And because there's a lot of things that, I mean, I have a big mouth, but not in that way. I mean, you know, I will say my piece, but I'm not going to, you know, you're going to dig your own hole. And just because I don't say I'm watching you dig the hole doesn't mean that I'm the one that's going to fall in it. You know, so I kind of, it just kind of reminds me of that a little bit. And Miss Sweet Pea, what are your thoughts?
To the mist of right and wrong, I forgive your sins, but don't forget, I still can hear the devil sing. I love this poem. I think it really says a lot about letting people understand that forgiveness and forgetting is a wonderful thing, but that doesn't make me an idiot, and it doesn't give you carte blanche to hurt me again.
Absolutely.
Great comment. I agree. Sometimes I think that I have the word schmuck tattooed on my forehead because, like, part of the reason that people find it easy to just, like, walk away, whatever, is because they know that I'll forgive them. But you got to remember, yes, that is true. I do forgive. It's in my nature. But also remembering and learning from and never forgetting is in my nature too. Good thing, bad thing, I guess it depends upon your point of view, you know? Thanks,
absolutely.
You guys.
And I put our dearest Hatter on the board. Would you mind reading for him, Deb?
Surely.
Awesome.
Back towards the computer. Just I was following. Right there. better? There we go. Okay. I cannot find the word forgiveness by Jay Hatter. I tried to understand why you hurt me so, crippled me as it began to grow. No words could you say to turn back time. It turned to nightmares inside my mind. I'm stuck in the place where you left me. You never said goodbye. You never set me free. The world that no longer for me spins round weighs too large a hold down. I can no longer see my tomorrow. All I have are things I borrowed. It sours the air I try to breathe. No colors fill my eyes to see. The days are long, the nights are endless. I cannot find the word forgiveness. It curses me day to day. It knows that I know no other way. End quote.
Oh, this kills me. Where is it? Where is it? I'm stuck in a place where you left me. You never said goodbye. You never set me free. I don't know if any of y'all have ever been ghosted by somebody that you trusted implicitly. No rhyme or reason, no explanation, no attempt at a conversation, just gone. But I tell you what, it sucks. And it's true, I can no longer see my, it does. It sours the air that I try to breathe and that no colors fill my eyes to see. And it's true. There's kind of like this film that kind of dulls the entire world because you can't try to round the edges of pain to soften them just enough to exist without dulling everything else. And it is not okay. And the days are long. The nights are endless. I cannot find the word forgiveness. And here's the thing about that. I'm very much, and this is my own dilemma. Boy, I'm just spilling all my tea tonight. Okay, this is my own dilemma. I have always been, for as long as I can remember from the time I was little, I never understood how people have such a hard time in romantic relationships. I'm like, if somebody is torn between me and somebody else or something else, then go. Okay, just go. It's not a choice. If you are torn, it's obviously we are not meant to be because I'm not your second best. You move the F on, goodbye. And I've been that way my whole life. And then something like this happens out of the blue, unexpected, with no reason. Nothing waned. Nothing changed. Everything was fabulous. And the only thing that I knew for a fact was how much pain must this person have been in to have to shut me out, which is not my normal train of thought. Usually I'm just like, well, then F you, because you know me. And so when they pop back up, however long later, it's not so much an I forgive you or them begging for forgiveness. For me, out of the blue, out of nowhere, is very much, or how have you been? Are you okay? Because I knew something had to have happened. Because I couldn't fathom anything else. And for all that time, it was, am I crazy? How, what is wrong with my broken brain that I can't imagine somebody would just do that? But because it would either be I was wrong for so many years about who this person was inherently, or I know better and we'll see what time says. And that is a painful struggle because it changes how you view yourself, how you define yourself, who you thought you were. All of this because somebody decided to just disappear. And it's a lot. And I never actually had to think about forgiveness because I couldn't get past the why, you know? So I never made it to the point of forgiveness. And then when it popped up, I was just like, oh, just let me know you're okay and we're good, you know? Which is a very odd thing for me because I'm very much just, you know, bite me. But I love this. This is painful, and this pulled me to the edge of my feels because it is a hard place to be when it happens. And when there is no years later or whatever where you never know the answer, then you're left with that wonder. You're left with that you know, how could you leave me in a place that's going to eat me alive? And that is an unforgivable thing when it's endless. So I found this to be really heartfelt, and it broke my heart. So, Deb, you read it. What are your thoughts?
I totally agree. I got choked up once or twice. And the thing is with this, if I try to just take it in word, it's already potent enough. And then couple that with, what would you call it, insider information that makes some of the things make even more sense than they would as a general rule, it hits so hard. And it's like one of them things where you wish you could just give them a big hug and tell them it's going to be okay and sorry you were treated that way kind of thing. Because, like, you know, nobody should treat anybody like that. But back off my big brother, man.
Right? And I love how you know, you're his champion. That's just awesome. And Sweet Pea, what are your thoughts?
Well, I kind of agree with that, back off my hatter. But, again, I love Hatter's voice. I love how he says things to the world. I don't think there's a poem I've ever read that doesn't move me. I think the days are long and the nights are endless. I cannot find the word forgiveness. It curses me day to day. It knows that I know no other way. I mean, who leaves anyone like that? I mean, I don't know what you ever do to anyone or anything that they never talk to you again. But I guess I guess I've been in a situation a few times like that where you just say enough's enough. I can't do this anymore. You just walk away. But does that person, you know, who's at fault? You never know. You know, you just walk away because you have to walk away. But I guess you always give somebody the opportunity to say goodbye or kiss my ass or do something. I think this poem has a lot of lessons to learn in it.
Absolutely. And it's just so heartfelt. My favorite Hatter is Wistful Hatter. I mean, there's Funny Hatter, and there's Sexy Hatter, and there's all these Hatters, but I love his wistfulness. I love when he writes those things that pull at me just a little bit, because I always feel closer to them, like I hold them close to my heart, and they're just always lovely. They're invariably lovely. And Rack and Tor, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, there's a lot of pain in this. Two things. First, I have to kind of quip about, you know, the words he cannot say, and forgiveness is one of them, apparently. But the idea about, you know, when somebody ghosts you, the thing that cuts me the most about something like that, you kind of touched on it, Pretty Bird, when you mentioned, you know, what must you have done that they need to cut you out of their life so completely, so finally, and just, you know, walk away without a word and not give you a chance to say anything. My head goes, you know, a little sympathetic in the sense of, you know, you want to talk to them, you want to find out why, but, you know, it almost doesn't matter, because whatever happened hurt them so badly that, you know, they decided that they can't bear the sound of your voice. They're not willing to talk to you. So it's not fair of you to try and talk to them, to try and find out why or get an explanation. You know, if you cared at all, then the fact that they decided that, you know, they can't be friends anymore or they can't talk to you anymore should kind of be enough, because, you know, they're basically saying, you're causing me pain, I need to walk away. But, you know, at the same time, it's like, but don't I deserve that bit of, you know, understanding? It's like, what happened? What did I do? Maybe it's not something it's just leaves you in that total confusion that's just, it kills you. And you know, that's painful as hell. And, you know, it's a beautiful piece, Hatter.
Absolutely. It kind of leaves that question, like, what could I have possibly done to make you hate me so much? You know, because kindness, love, friendship, anything that isn't, that is less than, you know, well, you know, hate or the equivalent therein, there's no other reason for that. Like, there's no, that's a very spiteful mm-hmm. thing, you know, and you know, people, there are some people that deserve to be walked away from, you know, they did it to themselves. But those people usually know what the heck they did. I'm just saying, you know, idiots know that they're idiots. So it's those, the unsuspecting ones, the ones that were too kind or too understanding or too not what they needed at the time, where they feel bad or I'm hoping they would feel some kind of bad because you can't look at somebody that didn't do a whole heck of a lot wrong and be like, fight me, I'm gone, you know, because that feels bad too, you know, and people are fallible. Like I said, we're all things all the time, the good, the bad, the ugly, all of it. So I put myself up on the board, and this is my little piece that is so far from Hatter's loveliness, but here it is. This is, I could tell you, but it's not like you'd ever ask me. And it goes like this. I want it not to hurt. I want clean slates and do-overs, whipped cream complete with cherries and for sugar to be a health food. I settle for feeling important on occasion or to matter to myself enough to stop giving the best parts of me away. My honesty is unappreciated for the beauty, dedication, and honor it takes to be so black and white, right and wrong in a sliding scale world of corrupt ideals where ethics only exist for convenience. People steal words from texts to woo lovers, and they aren't mine. The lovers, that is. The words break spirits into particles that glitter in the sun just before they disappear, but I trust anyway in plausible deniability of unveiled falsehoods. Forgiveness is the only virtue I have to my own detriment, but I do love, and love hard enough to bleed on that bed of sharp tongues with thin skin, but that has nothing to do with forgiveness. I never learned how to mend fences or unburn bridges. I can't that's not safe for PG-13. I can't un-F a relationship or downgrade a vision of truth. That was the happiest I've ever been as an adult, but I want it not to hurt. I want clean slates and do-overs, whipped cream complete with cherries, and for sugar, to be a health food. And poem.
All right. Well, that is a stunning poem, because that's something I would love to have. Pretty Bird, you know, when you write, it just seems to flow, like language and the world and reality just seem to mesh as one, and I just become lost in it. People steal words from text to lovers, and they aren't mine, the lover that is. The words break spirits into particles that glitter in the sun just before they disappear. But I trust, anyway, its plausible deniability of unveiled falsehoods. Ah, well, that's my gullibility. And forgiveness is the only virtue I have to my own detriment. I think that that's something beautiful to be. People that have that power just to forgive and be loving and be open to people. I'm not always that way. I tend to be very kind of shy and cold, and then there are people with such loving and open arms. But I also love that you're hard enough to bleed and that bed of sharp tongues on thin skin that has nothing to do with forgiveness. That's good. And I love your last line. I want it not to hurt. I want clean slates and do-overs, whipped cream complete with cherries, and for sugar to be a health food. And that's what I want. I want all of that. I need to be able to do everything you mentioned in this poem. But it's not easy. It's not easy. It's not easy. You know, I often wonder why hate doesn't have its own ribbon and why we don't have to do a parade for hate. Or why we don't have to raise money for the hate club. It just seems that's the only thing in this world that nobody has to raise money for or, you know, gather momentum to have. We always seem to have enough of that. Or we always have that ribbon for love or for helping or for overcoming. But hate's never had its own ribbon. And you just kind of prove it all through this poem. You know, I really appreciate almost every word in it. It's absolutely beautiful. So I shall move on and not keep stealing lanes. Deb, your thoughts on this?
Yeah, this is really amazing. And you start right from the title. I could tell you, but it's not like you'd ever ask me, which to me insinuates, you know, because I realize that you just don't give a crap, you know.
Yeah.
And then the first line hits, I want it to not hurt. And, like, how many times has each of us been in that seat? No matter what it is, you just need the hurt to stop. And sometimes, you know, you're sitting there begging for that clean slate or that do-over. So, like, between the title and just the intro there, it was like, oh, man, such a hard hitting. And then people steal words from tech woo lovers, and they aren't mine. I'm like, forgiveness is the only virtue I have to my own detriment, but I do love and love hard enough to bleed. And that is like, you know, you love with everything you have, and then you're gutted. And you, to your own detriment, because, you know, nothing's more important than that love, not even yourself. And sometimes the lessons that we learn slice so deep. I never learned how to mend fences or unburn bridges, and I can't correct a relationship or downgrade a vision of truth. It's like, you know, rose-colored glasses or not, eventually you see through those lenses what's really there, and it's not always pretty, and it's not something that's always fixable. Life's not always a bowl of cherries. I thought this was fantastic.
Thank you so much.
And Rack and Tor.
Yeah. still a fan. the first comment I got to say is, you know, you talk about sugar being a health food. Well, even then, diabetics still can't indulge. But, you know, I appreciate the thought. But the rest of it, you know, the cutting emotion behind this to me, you know, there's feelings I'm getting like being, you know, kind of unvalued, neglected, disregarded even. And you know, the hurt that comes with all of that. And then despite all that, you know, you're still who you are and true to yourself. And you know, the virtue that you speak of, you know, one of the things that make people want to be your friend and everything. And you kind of get, you know, what's that expression? No good deed goes unpunished. You know, it's like, you feel like no matter how much you give, you still nobody, you know, appreciates it, or you know, that they actually find fault in you for it, or hold it against you in one way or another. And you know, that there's a lot of pain in all of that. I enjoy your writing.
I appreciate that. You're so sweet. Yeah, at the end of this, the whole I never learned how to mend fences or unburn bridges or downgrade a vision of truth, that was the happiest I'd ever been as an adult, but I wanted not to hurt. And that was probably when I got to that point, I was just writing in insult is what that was. Because a very hard thing, and it goes back to the theme for tonight about, you know, forgiving and forgetting. You know, because I will, I'll, depending on, you know, the lie, not so much the action, but the lie. Because if you're honest with me, I can respect an idiot, you know, a lot more than somebody who lies to my face. So if there was no lies, this is, you know, we're good. But how do you downgrade a vision of truth that that is the happiest you've ever been as an adult, where you know that that happy was real. And so how can you fix it if you never learned how to be bothered with things that are broken? You know, I was raised very much in this giant world of hypocrisy, where my mom was very much, you will be independent. You don't need a man. You can do everything on your own. Yada, 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 blah, 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 blah. You know, you never take a man back who does this, that, or the other. Yet she stayed with my father until the day she died. And not for nothing. He was not stellar. And so do we grow up in what we were taught, or do we repeat what we saw? And it's a very hard thing to come into your own understanding of how deeply that affects you, and how when you love somebody, I don't care if it's a friendship kind of love, a familial love, or a romantic love, when you love somebody deep enough to call them your people and something goes awry and you don't know how to fix it, all you can do is accept it, you know, say, okay, I forgive you, I understand this happened, and then do your best bit by bit by bit to get to a point where it's neutral, where the pain is no longer a gaping wound, where it scabs over and eventually over time scars. And I don't know how to find some emotional Neosporin, you know, like the maximum strength for the pain relief, because I need some, because that would be awesome. But, yeah, so that's, you know, obviously I just have topics that are my trauma. So hopefully I'll heal a little bit and trying to understand all the different viewpoints and the different factions of what forgiveness, you know, is and how it's perceived. So you guys are fabulous for indulging me and listening to me yammer on forever. So I would like to thank everybody who wrote for me, and those who couldn't be here, Hatter and AP, who left me presents, and Kay with her fabulous turns of phrases, and Gress and Deb, and my fabulous y'all might as well just be my co-hosts, my Raconteur and Sweet Pea, because y'all are just wonderfully supportive, and I would not be here without you guys.
Thank you.
Oh, you're just awesome. That's the truth, you know. And thank you to Miss Deborah Lee, who you know, brainstormed this fabulous idea that has grown into this wonderful place for people to share space and time and the wonder of words. So you guys are awesome. And thank you for sharing time with me. It made my night, and I love you guys.
Love you too, honey. Take care of yourself.
Doing my best. I'll see you guys on, I will probably be on your show Tuesday, and I might even call in on a Saturday.
I am not doing show Tuesday.
Oh, you see how you are. Well, okay, well, then I guess I won't. Yeah.
No, I'll be in Wyoming this week, the whole week, so I won't be around much next week, but I will call you personally, I'm sure.
Well, I appreciate
I'll need an ear.
I've got two, so feel free to bend them both.
Okay, good.
Okay.
All right.
I love
chat
you
with
guys.
You later. And by the way, Raconteur, what you sent me with the ducks is one of the funniest things I've ever seen, just FYI.
Cool.
All right. I'll talk to you guys later. Love you.
Yes, ma'am. Right. Good night,
bye.
Guys. Bye.
Night.